Glory be. Good to see everybody. Amen and amen. So glad to be back. Hanging out. Celebrating. All right. Let's take the Word of God today. And let's just take a peek at what the Scriptures are helping us with, especially in these old times we are living in. Remember that the circumstances of our life are not to govern us. That's as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, the things that we're going through are not the things that are shaping us. It's the transformation of a renewed mind by the Lord as we journey through the things of life that is shaping and molding us to be more and more like the Lord Jesus. So that's just, we have no excuse to act out of character because of the times that we're living in. You've heard me say this before, whether we feel good or feel bad, whether we're sick or not, whether we're older or younger, none of those things give us the right to respond ugly or mean or any other kind of way to people around us, because who is to govern our lives? The Lord is. And He governs us by His truth. His truth is what strengthens and it reinforces. It puts the rebar in us. And that's what we want. And everything we've been doing over all these years of studying the Word and digging in it and gathering together and watching this unfold has prepared us for these days. Today, this very day. Right now is the only time we have, right? Right now is the only time we have. And it's the only time we have to bless the Lord. Yesterday's far gone. How many of y'all messed it up yesterday a time or two? Or a handful of times? Or again and again? You know, our mess ups don't have to what? Mess us up. Every day the mercies of the Lord are what? New. They are fresh and new. And fresh mercies are for fresh testimonies. And fresh testimonies are for fresh songs. And for fresh praise. Every day is a new day. Every time that sun rises, where you can see it or not, you can't escape its heat and you can't get away from the fact that God's mercies are new today. And we can walk fresh with Him and give Him the glory. Now, does God still hold us all accountable? Oh, He sure does. We can't help but see this with Solomon. And we're going to notice over the next several days in your reading with Solomon, here's a man who is given wisdom beyond anybody that had walked the earth and was a contemporary to him in that day. But yet Solomon operated in that wisdom without faith and without the fear of the Lord. Because remember, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? That is giving place to the Lord, giving place to God. Well, Solomon, that wisdom that God gave him was to know how to take the next step. But knowing how to take the next step, it always teaches us to give place to the Lord. And when we neglect that, then we operate in wisdom without faith. And when it's without faith, it can't please God. And when it can't please God, what does it do? It only leads to corruption. It becomes worldly. It becomes sensual. It becomes fleshly. And that's what we see. And you're going to see with Solomon himself. So won't you take your word and turn to chapter number 9. I think as the day goes on, we'll see how far we get into this, and we may look at a couple things tonight. But I just want to ask a couple questions. What do we do with this mess that we're in right now? What do we do? Are we in the mess? Now, we don't want our mess ups to what? You've heard me say that. How many times have we said that over the years? Our mess ups don't have to mess us up. But not only that, the mess ups of others don't have to mess us up. So we want to remember, what do we do with this mess? Don't let the mess ups mess you up. Don't let them mess us up. Now, what do we find here? I'm going to ask you to jump the gun. I mentioned chapter 9, but go over to chapter number 11. Go over to chapter number 11. One of the things that King Solomon did was God had already told his people, number one, don't make any allegiances with the nations of that land. Don't make any allegiances with these nations. They're only going to hurt you in the end. They're only going to cripple you. They're only going to corrupt you. Well, what did Solomon start doing? What was his mistake? What was the big mistake that Solomon started doing? He pushed away from the truth, and all that wisdom that he had, when that wisdom gave him the vision to take the right step with God, he chose to take his own step. And when he did, he began to make allegiances with these other nations, and he did it through taking these foreign wives. And God had told him in other places in the scripture, I'll give you a couple of them, you can jot it down over this chapter number 11, Exodus chapter 23, Exodus chapter 23 and verse 31, and also in Exodus 34 and verse number 12. And you have to then go back to, how can you be so wise and such a fool? How can you be so wise and such a fool? How many of y'all have acted like a fool, though? Having all the wisdom of God, having Jesus and the Holy Spirit living in, and you still think your way is better than God's way. Think about it, because that is what a fool is. A fool thinks his way is better than God's way. So he pushes away at what God says and says, I'm going to do it my way. Now, we have to admit in here, we all have acted like a fool. And everybody said, all of us, we've all done things foolishly. We have thought foolishly, but we see the consequences in a man like Solomon, for an example. Here's a guy that has the favor of God upon his life, who had the right leadership as a father over him, who had the right guidance and the right instructions given to him, who had all that he needed to walk in the abundance that God had provided for him, and to walk in that in a way that would just be bring glory to the Lord. But remember when we was in chapter 9, God said these words, Solomon, as long as you walk before me in my ways and do my thing, I'll be with you and I'll fight for you and I'll do these things. But if you go your own way, if you forsake me, what did God say he was going to do? He would do what? He would forsake them. He sure did, as he says that. Matter of fact, just look over in chapter 9. Let's see. I mentioned 9. Let's go back and look at it. Now, I want you to think about that in light of our nation, our country, right now. It's in a mess. What do we do with the mess? Our leadership of our nation can't hold a light to the wisdom that Solomon had. And all God's people said, just can't. Don't. Don't have his resources, don't have his wisdom, doesn't have his insight, doesn't have his keenness, doesn't have the pedigree that Solomon had. Doesn't have it. Now, in light of that, you have to go back and think of what God, in light of that revelation of knowing there's a major difference in what Solomon had and what we have, or what the nation, this our country has today. We got to think about this. Notice what he says in, let's see, verse number 2. Let's just start there, chapter number 9. And the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I've heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I've consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now watch the conditions. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of your heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I've commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish your throne and your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. Now watch verse 6. But if you and your sons at all turn from following me Do not keep my commandments and my statutes, what I've set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. Then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as far as this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss at it and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they abandoned, forsook the Lord their God, and who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods and worship and gave themselves to them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. Now that right there, when you think about it, what we see in this is that these conditions that God said that they must trust Him, treasure Him, and walk with Him, and if they don't do that, what's going to happen over a period of time, God's going to remove it. And we see Him doing that with what? Solomon. We see Him doing it with Solomon fairly quickly. Remember what Solomon did over in chapter 11? Go over to chapter 11 and let's see. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Sidonians and the Hittites. Verse 2. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. But Solomon clung to these in love. But King Solomon. See, Solomon went from but God moments to but Solomon moments. And boy, that makes all the difference in the world. When you act, and we act like a fool. So let's think about this. What do we do with this mess? What do we do with this mess that we're in? Well, when Solomon did all these things, the Bible says in verse number 6 of chapter 11, Solomon did what? What did he do? He did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord, and as did his father David. Now, we have to go back and ask the question, you know, is America, which we know that Bible teaching and preaching and prophecy is not centered all around America, and all God's people said, we're just a small group on the big scale of all that God's doing and still yet to do. We do know, and this is something for us to recognize. We've got to recognize this. This is where we go back to recognizing truth. Inevitably, this country that we live in is going to be destroyed. Inevitably, at some point. We don't know when. We still don't know exactly how. But God says this in His Word. And this is why we want to cling to the Word. Now, we don't want to be a fool. A fool says, I know better than God knows or what He said. God says in His Word, everywhere He has driven His people into these other nations, He will eventually destroy those nations. We know that's eventually going to happen. It could happen sooner than later, or we could still have another 100 years. We may have another 1,000 years, Karen. Do we know that? We have no clue whatsoever. But what do we do with this mess while it is going on as ambassadors of heaven? Solomon chose to do life his way. Even though he had the promises given to his father David, over in 2 Samuel chapter number 7, we see it. We see it in Psalm 89. God said He's not going to remove His loving kindness off Solomon, but He will discipline Solomon with other nations, with trouble. He'll use that. And He tells us that pretty clear. So when we look at them, and then we look at us, why do we think that we're excused as a nation from trouble? Why do we think we're excused as a nation from For whatever reason, our country has believed so many lies over the years that they believe we should be exempt from all these things that God says, what he does and will do or won't do when people follow after him. Are you with me? We living in that day. We seeing it right now. And so what do we do with this mess? Well, if you look over in chapter 11, in verse number 26, we see there was a servant of Solomon's named Jeroboam, whom God is going to give 10 tribes of the nation to them. Now, he's going to tell us why he does this. He says in verse number 31, and he said to Jeroboam, take for yourselves 10 pieces of a garment that was rent. His garment, he rent it in 12 pieces, gave him 10. And he says this, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to you. Now remember, who was Solomon? Whose son was Solomon? Did Solomon have wisdom to make right choices? Did Solomon have the favor of God upon him? Did Solomon have all the opportunities in the world to serve the Lord and do the right thing and go the right way? But what did Solomon choose to do? Do it what? His way. What happened? God didn't excuse it, did he? Because of who he was and where he came from and who his father was, what did God do? God created division. God created trouble. As a result of his actions, God tore the kingdom, and he's going to tell us why. He says, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and give 10 tribes you. Verse 32, but he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Verse 33, this is why. Because they as a whole, not just Solomon, but the nation, they have forsaken me and have worshiped these other gods and have served them. They have not walked in my ways to do what is right in my eyes, to keep my statutes and my judgments as his father David did. You know what ultimately that goes back to? Is this. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Let's look at this for a moment. You'll see why this happened. This was the consequence of what happens. And this happens with us today. Look in 28, now Deuteronomy 28 is dealing with when God says, I'm going to bless you, or you're going to fall on the wrong end of the blessing, you're going to fall in the cursing side. But notice the reason, the because, in verse number 47. Deuteronomy 28, 47. God says he brings these things on his people because they did not serve the Lord their God with what? With what? Joy and gladness of heart. Now remember that. Remember that. They did not serve the Lord with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Therefore, as a result, you will have to serve your enemies. You're going to have to serve your enemies. You hear what he's saying there. Why does Solomon, or why do we, or why does anybody go after other things when they have the right way given to them by God? Because they want to do it their way, and they find in more joy and satisfaction in their own way rather than God's way. And as a result, it shows within their heart that they had no joy or gladness in doing life God's way. And as a result, what happens is there's a consequences that come with that. And we have to admit in this place today that as a whole, our country doesn't serve God with joy and gladness. So we got to be honest about that. Now, are there people, are there remnants, are there people out there that do? I believe so, but not as a whole. Not as a whole. So the consequences of these things, we then have to turn it around and look at it from this perspective. go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. We're just looking at some truths today of what do we do with this mess we're in. How do we as the people of God look at this? 1 Timothy chapter number 2. If we're not careful, we could think we know better. There's a lot of people right now in the country think they know better than God knows. And boy, they in a tailspin right now. And they're being manipulated right now. And they're not serving God with joy and gladness. They're angry. They're bitter. They're not handling the problems right, and therefore they're threatened by what's happening. And you know what that's going to do? They're going to mistreat people. Have y'all seen the ugliness that's going on around you? Y'all see all that happening right now? You know why? Because remember, God's given us a spirit of love so that we can treat people the way Jesus treats people. Did Jesus enter into a situation that was ideal? Who was over the Jewish kingdom in that day? Who was over it? The Roman Empire. The Roman Empire. Was Rome a godly nation? Not at all. Matter of fact, they even going to manifest that over time when these disciples of Jesus start spreading the gospel. They're going to start killing a bunch of them, aren't they? They didn't like it. But none of those things threw Jesus off of his course. None of those things threw the Apostle Paul or Peter or these guys off their course. You know what they kept doing? They recognized that they was ambassadors of heaven. They didn't let the mess ups of their society mess them up. Now watch in verse number 1. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for some men. Does y'all's translation say that? What does it say? Woo! That's tough, ain't it, Tommy? You see, that's where we then have to cast down our thinking and trust God's thinking on this and say, wait a minute. If this be the case, that God gives us insight to pray for all men, verse number 2, he's going to get specific on this, for leaders, for kings, and who are all in authority, for what reason? That we, as the ambassadors of heaven, may lead a quiet and peaceable life in, first off, all godliness and reverence. Not getting caught up with the mob. Not getting caught up with the rioters. Not getting caught up with the protesters. But in peace and quietness of doing what we've been given to do. Not letting the mess mess us up. Not letting the mess us up. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Did God know who was on the throne at that day? Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in quite a few places throughout the Scriptures, but in particular in one place, we see it when there was a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Y'all know that name. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar had his dreams and he needed somebody to help him with them? Nobody could help him with them. But God gave Daniel the interpretation of the dream. Not only what he dreamed, but the interpretation of it as well. And then he told him this, that it's God who raises up kings. And it's God who what? Brings down leaders. It's God who exalts. And it's God who brings down. So who's ultimately in control of all things that are happening right now in this nation and around the world? Who allows things and leaders to rise and leaders to fall, for people to come into office and for people to no longer to be in authority and power? Who does that? God does. So this is important for us. So I can't let the society that I'm living in manipulate me with its mess ups, and then I start letting that mess up mess me up, and I fail to realize who's really at work here. Amen. Because if not, this is what happened, Tommy. I quit serving God with joy and gladness. And when I quit serving God with joy and gladness, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start doing it my way. And when I start doing it my way, there's always a consequence to that. Corruption always comes out of it. Death always follows it. When we operate in wisdom without the fear of the Lord, without God's presence, without faith, it only leads to death. That's what we see with Solomon. Think about Solomon in his first allegiance. Kate, who was it? He made an allegiance with who? Pharaoh. Why did he make allegiance with Pharaoh? He married Pharaoh's who? Married a daughter. What did Pharaoh do? Pharaoh went and killed a bunch of people and overthrew their cities and then gave them to his daughter as a gift to David. Whenever we depart from the ways of God, it always leads to deception, it always leads to darkness, and it always leads to death. Every single time. It happened with Solomon, who had wisdom superior than everybody. It'll happen with us as well. And none of us are without excuse. Amen? We're all inexcusable. Verse number four. Who desires, this is what God's desire is. God desires all men to be, what does he desire? All men to be what? Saved. He desires all men to be saved. Boy, that's a desire of God, isn't it? To be saved. He desires men to be saved. Man, that's what delights the heart of God, that men are being rescued. So if I want to get in on what God delights in and what is God sees as good and acceptable, he wants me to live a quiet and peaceable life of omission of sharing who his Savior is, the Lord Jesus Christ. And doing what he's called me to do. And that's exactly what he goes on to say in verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. God gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And Paul says, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Now, as a result, look at verse 8. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know what he's saying? I want God's truth to govern you and not what's going on in the society. What does that mean, Janet, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting? The idea is saying, I want you to be able to come before God, no matter who's in control, no matter what's going on, no matter how good or how bad it is, I want you to be able to lift up hands with no kind of animosity, with no kind of anxiety, with no kind of anger in your heart, because you entrust in the leadership of the world unto the sovereign God that you're serving. You trust in him with it. And I want to tell you, you know what happens then? That's where that peace and that calmness comes over, to understand I've got a greater mission than the mission even of America. I got a greater mission in the kingdom of God, of what God's called me to do and set me apart for. And I can't let this mess me up so that I'm not serving God with joy and with gladness in my heart. Because when I stop, I'm going to forsake him and I'm going to go my own way. And when I go my own way, you know what? This society that I'm living in, you know what they're going to do? They're going to start manipulating me. And boy, and I'm going to be upset with this person, and I'm going to be upset with that person, and I'm going to be mad at this, and I'm going to be mad at that, and I'm going to talk about this one, and I'm going to talk about that one. And boy, and I just become those grumblers and complainers that don't shine as light in this old dark world we live in. Are you with me? And we don't want to get caught up in that. We want to know who we are. We want to know what he's called us to. And we don't want this mess that we're in the midst of to mess us up. We don't want it to mess us up. We want to know the truth. What do we say to this moment? What do we say to this moment? What do we say to this moment? We want to redeem the time. Embrace it. Endure it and enjoy the open and closed doors God provides. Remember what Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and 24 when he said, the Spirit testifies in every place that chains and bonds await me. But none of these things move me because I don't count my life dear to myself that I may finish the course that God has given me to run. Who knows what tomorrow's going to bring? Who knows what the rest of this day is going to bring? Amen? There's so many things that's happened in all our lives in a given day that we never saw it coming. It just came on us. It happened. That can happen today, it can happen tomorrow. But you see, what do we say to this moment? That God has raised us up for this moment. God has planted us where He's planted us for this moment. God, it wasn't by accident you were born when you was born, where you were born, and what He's done in you and what He's given you. By no means. I mean, this has all been calculated by God. We can trust Him. Amen. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. I want you to turn over to the book of Isaiah. Look over in Isaiah. Isaiah. Look in Isaiah chapter number 3. I want you to see this. Because we got to recognize in a moment like this, what do we say to this moment? We can see. Remember, Romans, when we was in Romans a couple months ago, Romans says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against certain things. And when nations do their own thing and choose to go their own way and operate in their own way, God gives us some indicators when his judgments or His wrath is being manifested from a nation. Look what He says here. He says in verse number 10, say to the righteous, and this is what I say to you today, say to the righteous, it shall be well with them. And all God's people said, no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, you can say to the righteous, and those that are righteous are those that trust Him, who are believing Him, who are walking with Him, say to the righteous, it's going to be well with them. No matter what happens, it's going to be well. Amen. You can cling to that. Boy, that ought to give us a joyful, glad heart no matter what we got to face. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. But He says this, woe to who? Woe to the wicked. It shall be ill with them. And I want to tell you, God's a just God. You don't have to worry about things being missed or escaped or whatever. Justice is going to be served. And all God's people said, you don't have to worry about that. For the reward of His hand shall be given in Him. Now watch verse 12. As for My people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O My people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. That was a result of the nation's judgment upon them. You know what that's saying, Josh? It's saying that childish leaders will be in that knee-jerk reaction to everything. They respond like a kid would. They don't respond with principle and with truth and with guidance and great leadership. It's whatever the society is feeling right now, that's what they're going to go with. And we see that. Look, we live in this society. Look, if they want to blackball you, they're going to cut you off from everything. Well, it doesn't matter where you're from, whatever you do. If they highlight you, man, they want to shut you down. And this is a phenomenon that we're seeing across the land in the country that we live in, that they want to destroy you, destroy everything about you. And that's that childish mentality on the playground who wants to bully you and pick on you and hurt you and harm you. You see, that's the kind of leadership that is over a nation when a nation's under the judgment of God. And if you don't stand with Me, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to talk bad about you. Or if you don't walk with us, we're going to destroy your name and your character, and we're going to do everything we can. Y'all see that? We see that on both sides right now, don't we? And not only in the highest offices, it's the result of what's happened at the grassroots level across the country. So pitted against one another. Why? It's childish leadership. There's no bearing with heavenly principle upon it. And one of the main reasons why that is who's fueling, what's fueling all this. Y'all know we in a spiritual battle. And there's an enemy behind all that's going on as well. Hunter, come on up here. Josh, come help me out real quick. I need you and Hunter to come up here. I want you to do something for me. Hunter, I want you to close your eyes. You got your belt with you?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. I want you to close your eyes and come right out here. I want you to spin him. I want you to just spin him. Just spin him around. Just let your daddy spin you. Just keep spinning, spinning. Come on, work with him. Work with him. Just spin him, spin him. Just look, faster than that. Faster than that. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. What you think about that, Hadley Jane?
Easy now.
Don't fall over now. Keep going. Keep going. Now, I want you to walk over to Miss Kate. Look at him. Thank you, brother.
Yes.
Look, this is what happens. The news and the information people are receiving, it's got them in a spin. And when you spin in like that, you see how he was, you told him to watch out, how it got him off balance? That's where our country is right now. It's just so off balance because of the spin of everything they're seeing and hearing and what's being reported. And they're stumbling everywhere. And when you're doing that, the first thing you want to do is protect who? Protect yourself. Brace on to something. Protect yourself. So that's what we see happening right now is that the news is fueling, igniting this fuse that's creating this blues across the country. And people are neglecting the news of God, who gives us insight on all these things so that we can see it more clearly and it be what we see as truth and not the lie. You just think about it. I was thinking just the last couple of days is that what we can't allow to happen and what's happening right now with a lot of people is the news is a fuse that is creating the blues. I just encourage, man, turn that news on. Quit listening to it. Because you know their agenda is to fuel this. They're making money. They're making a living off reporting nothing but bad news. And a lot of times, this is what's happening. More people can tell us what President Trump said, or what Biden said, or what Congress said, or what the news people said, but do you hear many people telling us what God said? Think about it. For you, for me, what am I reporting more? What everybody else is saying or what God is saying about a situation? And that's where we got to go back to getting what? Balanced. Let God create balance in our life with His revelation and His truth. God's news will change the blues for you. Give you that joy and that gladness. That's why he said in Proverbs, what is it, 4:23? I brought this filter in here. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, or filter your heart. Guard your heart. For out of the heart proceeds what? All the issues of life. This filter, for that air condition over at the parsonage over there, is designed to keep all the dust and the debris from getting within that air condition and shutting those coils down or damaging that AC unit over there. And if we don't have a filter of the truth of the Word of God filtering everything we see and hear, All that stuff just filters into our life, and then we filter it out based on the information we have, and it can't help but contaminate everything we do. That's why we got to have the filter of the Word of God, keeping all that stuff from permanently corrupting and damaging our heart. That's why we spend time in the Word. What does Psalm say? Hide the Word of God in your heart that you may not what? Sin against the Lord. So we want to guard our heart with the filter of the Word of God. But you know what? Carolyn, we can trust the Lord, can't we? Who's in control?
Me.
You?
Yep. There starts the
See, that's what Solomon said, huh? That's what Solomon said. But you know what? A lot of times we point the finger at Carolyn, but you know, we do the same thing. We say we're going to do it the way we want to do it, and our way's better than God's way. The evidence of that is that we're not just pouring ourselves in to seek an answer, a solution from the Lord. And then this mess starts messing us up. Then we don't have anything to say to this moment. And then we don't have anything for the mission that God has given us to accomplish in this life. And I want to tell you, we've got a high calling. Amen? And I got to go back to this before I go. What's more important to me? What's more important to Nick Holden, your pastor? Is my rights as an American more important to me than the fact that I am an ambassador of heaven first? And as an ambassador of heaven first, I would rather be right in trusting the Lord than to operate within my rights as an American. That's just me. I have to ask that question on a regular basis. And when I find myself consumed with being my rights as an American, what I find is I'm starting to let this mess me up. Because I got to go back. What does Jesus demand of us? What does this gospel demand of us? It is a demand of loyalty. He demands our life. He demands our love. He demands our loyalty. All of it. Why does the scripture say that we're to deny ourselves? What? Take up our cross and follow after Him. I'm an ambassador of heaven now, first, before I'm an American citizen. I'm glad to belong to America. Amen. I defend it and fought for and will. But you know, when Jesus birthed me into His kingdom, made me a new creature in Christ, He gave me a new home, a new citizenship. That, Him, His ways, supersedes everything else in my life. So whether I'm in America, or I'm in China, or I'm in Africa, or I'm in South America, or am I in Colorado, or Mississippi, and Porterville, and Briggs Chapel, I'm first and foremost an ambassador of Christ to the glory of God. Amen? And you know, I got to keep reminding myself that. How about y'all? Because if you don't, you know what's going to happen? This old mess we in is going to keep doing what? It's going to mess you up. And you won't have anything to say for the moment. Or you will, but it won't have any eternal value to it. And we'll get off mission. We'll get off mission. I'm telling you, He's got something good for us. Amen? He sure does. His way's better than our way. And boy, we just need to just simply trust Him. Amen? Father, we thank You today. We bless You. We ask for Your help with these things as we continue to dig in Your truth, as we continue to seek You and pray and intercede for those in leadership right now and for our nation and for our country, for the people across the board, that, Lord, You would help us you would help us. Not let us get manipulated. Not let this news manipulate us. Not let the events manipulate us. But that we would hear from you. We would trust you. We would walk with you. And we would lift up clean hands before you today and just entrust these things to you. That you've already revealed to us what you do and when you do it and why you do it and what you're even doing right now. And we can entrust ourselves to you. We can believe you. Whether it costs us our life or not, we can trust you. For you are our refuge and our hope, our life. And I just ask you right now to help us as individuals, us as a corporate body, us as families, fix our eyes upon you and continue to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Anybody have anything before we go today? Can we walk with God without wisdom? Because you can't walk with God without the fear of the Lord. You can't operate in the fear of the Lord without faith. Got to have it from the Lord to walk with him. Can you have wisdom from God and still act like a fool? That's obvious. We see that. Have you done it? We all have. Praise God for his mercy. Amen. Are they new today? Woo! Thank Jesus. Thank him, Lord. Thank him, Lord. Be careful. Don't let it get your blood pressure up. Y'all's blood pressure been up? Y'all won't choke anybody? Look. What's that? Look, don't let it manipulate you. Who's to govern you? Lift up holy hands. Thank the Lord. He's at work. Give him glory. He's at work. He ain't slacking. Amen. Even if he removes his hand, he's still at work. Even if he allows, he's still at work. What did he say in Isaiah? Let the righteous know it will be what? Well with them. You can count on it. You can count on it. He's trustworthy. Amen. He's trustworthy. Romans chapter 3, I think it's verse 4, he says this, let God be true, let God be true, and every man a liar. That's just a good principle to go by. Let God be true and every man a liar. Other places tell us this. In Isaiah, he tells us there comes a point when you can't believe your neighbor. You can't believe him on the right side or the left side. You can't believe nobody. That's why you go back to what? Seeking him and what he says about it. I think God knows what's going on. Amen. And we can go to him and seek him and he'll help us with these things. All of us, it doesn't matter what kind of wisdom you have or how long you've been walking with the Lord. Every one of us are subject to get swooped up and caught up with the atmosphere of the society that we live in. You cannot let your guard down. Amen. This is something you got to be diligent about, because it will trip you up and get you caught up, and you'll start looking at people the wrong way, loving people the wrong way, hating people. And look, that doesn't manifest Jesus, and it ain't going to help you. It's only going to hurt you. Amen. Love y'all. Y'all have a good day.